Bibles, let's go ahead and open up. Try not to hold you long tonight. That's really up to you though, I guess, you and the Lord. The title is tonight, Service Unto the Lord. Service Unto the Lord. I want to read from Mark chapter 14, and we'll read from Luke chapter 7 also. Mark chapter 14, verse 3 through 9, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to be to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. In Luke chapter 7, we're going to read the same story there, just a little more details. Luke chapter 7, verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and to wipe them with her hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bid him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman, and he said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say to thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he saith unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. We pray for a moment. Lord, we just want to tell you that we thank you for this word and for your presence tonight, Lord. We thank you for your people. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to be here together to speak on the things that you've brought to us. Lord, we love you and just pray that you would just feel welcome here tonight, that you would just speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would just go to each person and just speak to them. Bring them a truth, something that will help them in their walk. Lord, we just know that this is your little flock, and we just commit them to you now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Service unto the Lord. And I think before I'm going to get started on this, I just want to make a comment, you know, that You know, as a minister, of the gospel, and as a minister in the message, the only thing I can do is repeat what is in this Bible and repeat what has been spoken through a prophet, what's been on tape for us, and repeat the things that the Lord gives. And so I don't ever want anyone to think that, that when I use quotes from Brother Branham, that I'm trying to gain authority to myself or something like that. I'm not trying to gain anything for myself. I'm trying to be a faithful witness to the things that the Lord has given in this day, and to what the best in my experience and what I see in the Bible and the gift that He's put in my life. And I feel like I am responsible, and I know Brother Daniel would agree this on himself, I'm responsible for the gift that God has given me. I'm responsible for what God causes me to see and to share that. And I'm not trying to gain anything to myself, just be a faithful messenger, faithful one to repeat these things. But I don't want to make you think that I don't feel like I have authority, because as a minister of the gospel, I do have the authority of the word through the gift that God has given. I have the authority of that, and so there is that authority, but I'm not trying to use it to gain to myself. I'm doing it to get to you what I know God has done in this day and what I see that He's done in this day. And so I hope I never come across in a situation where you feel like that I'm overbearing or arrogant or anything like that, because I don't want to be that. I just want to be a faithful watchman to tell you what's going on the best that I can see. And so may the Lord bless each one of you. So in tonight, talking about service unto the Lord, I believe personally myself that real Christians want to be in service to the Lord. And I don't mean just halfway. I mean real Christian, people who really come into contact with the Lord. There's just something about it. You can't sit still. You want to do something for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so we know that. And so many times, probably happens all the time, really, people get confused. They can get confused as what it means to be in service to the Lord, what it means to serve the Lord. And so, you know, it is Satan's job to confuse us. It is his job to get us off track, or, you know, and so to make us try and be something we're not. That's his job. Mm-hmm. And to confuse it and make a person feel like, that they should do something maybe they're not called to do, or something like that. And so many people, and this is what I really want to, one thing I really want everyone to take home tonight, is so many people get discouraged because they look around and, you know, people in the church will look around and say, well, we got preachers, we got song leaders, we got different ones that sing and different ones that do different things, and I'm here and I'm doing nothing, right? A lot of times people say, I'm doing nothing for the Lord, there's nothing for me to do. And so a lot of times people get discouraged because they feel like there's no place for them or nothing for them to do. But I will tell you, God does not make mistakes. Any gift that He puts in your life, He put that in there so that you could minister to the body. As we mentioned the other day, we read the scriptures where that each member of the body provides something for the body. You know? And so, my body needs my heart, right? My heart needs my body. Every member has something that it puts forth, and the body as a whole is healthy because of that. And so God doesn't make mistakes. He put in you, made you what you are, and He put in you the gifts and the things that He wants you to have, and He wants you to use that to minister to the rest of the body. Right. You are a member of a body, and He wants you to minister, take what you are and give to that body. And that body in turn comes back to you. Now, you can look at that as the body of Christ as a whole. You can look at it as just this local church body. You can look at it for your own home, just inside your family. Right. But God has equipped us. Every person has something to offer the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. God does not make mistakes. Right. And so Satan comes along and makes people discouraged and confusing, and tries to get them to be something they shouldn't be. God does not make mistakes. And so You know, you may say, well, I can't play an instrument, I can't sing, I don't do this, I don't hold any position or anything like that. But I think I mentioned this Sunday, just your presence coming in that door back there. Every Christian that comes in that's a Christian has a lick of fire.
Sure.
Everyone. And just coming in that door, you add to the fire that's of the service that's here. And so just your presence, a smile that you would have to share with someone, a greeting to someone, your prayers,
right.
You know, prayer works,
yeah.
Right? I don't care where you are, home, in your closet, going down the road, whatever it is, prayer works. And you, if nothing else, which there's, I don't believe that's the only thing that you can do, each one of you, but if there was only one thing you could do, you could pray for this assembly. You could pray for your loved ones and your brothers and sisters. But your prayers, your friendship.
Amen.
You know, I said the other day, look around and you're looking at somebody that's going through the valley. I mean, you can look at anybody. That person's going through something that you know not.
Right.
And you don't know where they're at and you're not in their shoes. And that person needs somebody that can help them. Somebody that can make their day a better day just by greeting them in the right way.
Right.
Saying something to them. Doing a little something for them. And so, to make their day brighter. And every person has something they can put into the body of Christ. So, we talk about it many times. Your most powerful position that you have, that you can be, is to be yourself.
Yeah.
Amen? Just be yourself. So, I'm going to read several quotes here as we do this. And as, again, I'm going to try not to be real long tonight. Just to be yourself. Brother Branham says, who, taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? He's quoting Jesus. I've always said that, you know. Jesus said, you can't make one hair black or white. And you got these people go out and color their hair, and I look what I did, you know, and just give it a few weeks and it comes back. You can't change your hair color yourself. And he said, you cannot add one cubit to your stature. You cannot make yourself taller. Now, you people with high heel shoes on and all that, but you cannot make yourself taller. Sister, I don't... She looked over here smiling at me. I'm not talking about Sister Vicky, okay? but you can't. Jesus said that. You can't. And that's the whole thing, is we've got to realize that. Look, don't be trying to go out and be something you're not.
Right.
Don't try to change yourself. Some of the guys at work were talking this morning, this guy that works for me. He said, my wife and my daughter have the most beautiful red hair that you've ever seen. Is they're constantly trying to change it and do this and do that and put streaks in it and all that. And he said, just leave it alone. It's just beautiful the way it is.
Yeah.
And see, when we start chasing after things that's not us, then we start changing our appearance and doing all this stuff. And there's no peace in all that.
Right.
Brother, sister, there is no peace in trying to be something that you're not. The most peaceful place that you can be is to be yourself in the Lord. Just be what he called you to be. And so, Brother Branham says, and he's quoting Jesus, who can take thought, can add one cubit to his stature, said Jesus. We are what we are, and that's one thing that has hurt the Pentecostal move and other moves, is someone trying to be something that they're not. They are trying to impersonate someone else. You can't do that. You're just what you are. That's all. And when you do that, talking about be yourself, when you do that, God will use you in just what you are. And you're just as important as anybody else. I mean, believe that.
Yeah.
You're just as important as anybody else. And so you can't try to be something else. Just be who you are. God does not want us to try and serve him in a capacity that we don't have.
Right?
Right? He gives us he equips us with whatever it is, and then he expects us to turn around and use what he's given in service to him. But he's not asking you, even the scriptures talk about it, he's not asking you to put in the offering plate what you don't have.
Yeah.
Right? Now you got these guys with these tent revivals and different things, and they're like, you know, go hawk your furniture or whatever so you can bring me money. See, God's not asking you to try and serve him in a capacity that he's not providing. He provides, you know, and so he's gifted you, and he's, but what happens is when a person tries to go and be something that he's not made them. Now everything about them has to be manufactured by them. Mm-hmm. And they've got it's all on guard and all. But if you're just yourself, you don't have to worry about anything.
Right.
Just serve the Lord with who you are. And Brother Bim tells us here that you're just who you are. And when you'll stay with who you are, God will use who you are. Mm-hmm. And change the world. Change people around you by being who you are. Mm-hmm. And so that's the most powerful thing. And no one can replace you. No one can replace you. We know through the message, we talk about it quite a bit. We have five inlets to our, you know, touch, taste, see, smell, hear. We have five inlets, as Brother Bram said, to our spirit realm, the imagination and conscience, memory, reason, and affection. And of course, in our soul, we just either have faith or doubt. But you know, I mentioned this the other day, and it just keeps coming to mind, you know, that but Satan wants to use your flesh. We know that. He does it all the time with people. He wants to use your, you know, your touch, taste, see, smell, hear. But we also talk about how that he wants to use your imagination. He wants to use your conscience, and your memory, and reason, and affections. Satan wants to use those things, and he does with people. Brother Branham says in the sermon, Raising Jairus' Daughter, talking about when Jesus went over to the man that was possessed. And so when Jesus crossed the sea to bring deliverance to this one poor man, as soon as the maniac saw him, he ran to him and fell down. And he was so submitted to the devil till the devil used his tongue. Remember Satan talking through the man? He said, you can submit to the devil and he will use your tongue. If you'd submit to God, God would use your tongue. And he can control you, but you first have to let him get control of you. And now if you're cursing and damning and going on like others does, then the devil's got you in complete sway. But let God have a hold of you one time and watch what you're going to say. So Brother Bram is explaining there what we're talking about is Satan wants to use you, but God does too. God wants to use you in the same way. So he tells us in a sermon called The Forgotten Beatitude. He said, you know, God can only use what parts you yield to him. How many parts do we have? I don't mean this physical body, but how many things, how many abilities, how many different things could we, God, use out of us? Well, Brother Bram says, God can only use the part that you yield to him. So if you hold back things, he can't use it. Remember, he's a gentleman. He's not going to just force himself. He said, you see, as I said, I believe one day somewhere, I talk in so many different places, mornings and afternoons and meetings and so forth. He said, but I said that God can use what you yield. He said, like Samson. Samson would not yield his heart to God. He gave that to Delilah. But he gave God his strength to God. And God can only use his strength. That's all. But if a fellow can only yield his complete being to God, now that's it. And if you can yield your body, God will use your body. And if you can yield your mind, your heart, or whatever it is, God will use what you give to him to use with. Amen. And he's seeking to find somebody that he can find that will yield like that. And so that's kind of what I'm wanting us to dwell on just for a little bit, is that every portion of your life that you can surrender to God, God will use that to minister to his body.
Amen.
He will use that for his glory. Your body, your voice, your thinking, every aspect about you that you can yield to God, God will use it. Now, if you know the consequences of yielding to the devil, he will use it also. Right? And the devil will try to take it by force. And he does it all the time. But the Lord Jesus Christ is a gentleman, and so you have to yield that. You have to willingly give him your time. You have to willingly give him. Listen, he's not going to be king unless you make him king.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, he is king, you understand? But he, you have to make him. Let me tell you something. There's a whole lot to be said about humility.
Amen.
Because being humble, true humility is humbling to the Word of God. Submitting to the Word of God. And so, Brother Branham did not try to make a big name for himself. He didn't try to vindicate himself. God did all the vindicating. But here's the thing. Jesus was so humble that he never tried to make himself king. Who makes him king? The scripture says we crown him. Right? So humble, even though he was, so humble that he wouldn't boast himself. Right? But let his own life make the way for him, like a man's gift will make room for him. So a man that walks in humility, he doesn't have to boast anything. That's just all there is to it. And so Jesus was so humble that he doesn't try to make himself king. He just lets us do it, right? Yeah. And so if you don't do that, if you don't make him Lord of your life, he won't be.
That's right.
Yeah. If you don't make that decision to surrender your time or to your thought or whatever, if you don't do that, he won't have access to that,
right?
And you want to do something for God, you've got to let go of these of all the time and all the things that's got you all tied up with everything else. You've got to push those things back and surrender these things to the Lord, because he can only use what you give to him and yield to him. That's the whole thing, the gist of tonight, doing service to the Lord. There's so much that we can do for the Lord, but only if we're willing to. Only willing. I can just speak for what it is, but I can do a little bit of carpentry work, and I use it. I use it for the Lord. If I can help brothers and sisters in churches, I do that. Mm-hmm. If I can work on a car, help them. I am what I am, and I try to use everything that I know how to do. I try to use it to help for the Lord, to help His people, to help my family. If you've got a talent, you have something, use it.
Yeah.
Don't hide it under a bushel. That's what the scriptures talk about in the church, that you don't light a candle and hide it in a bushel. And I think Brother Daniel mentioned this recently, in a prayer or something. I don't know, but God doesn't. He wants you on a hill where you can be seen. Bless the lives of people around you. Make their life better. Even if they are not going to be saved in the end, even if they're totally outside of the economy of God, be a blessing to them.
Amen.
Amen. And so, he can only use what you give to him. And so, you can give to him your touch, taste, see, smell, hear. Our sisters do that. They cook this food and they taste it to make sure it's going to be good, right? But, and that's a ministry. Because I'm going to tell you something. You want to see the morale of the church go down, let Sunday food disappear, and there's going to be some brothers that are going to be real unhappy, and sisters, right? No, that's a ministry to the body. And we think, but you have to realize you are ministering to the Lord.
Amen.
If you want to do something, like Brother Ram said, if you want to really make him happy, do something for his children. If you want to make God happy, do something to minister to his people.
That's right.
That's what the whole thing is. And by doing that, you're doing it to him. So you're doing service to the Lord. And so yield to God your imagination, your conscience, your memory, reason, and affections. Yield to him your body. Use your talent, your voice, your hearing, your reading, everything. Give that to him. And so God can use that when you do that. So God will use that in service to his people. But in all reality, I just said this, you're serving the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
The scriptures talk about, being a good worker. I'll use my own words. And serve your masters, well, as unto the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and not unto me.
Yeah.
See, whatever you can do by faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is by faith in the Word, and if let's just say you find yourself and you're in a situation where you're an absolute slave, like what we know slaves to be. But according to the scriptures, if you can honor your master the way the scripture describes it, you're doing it unto the Lord, and it goes to your account.
Mm-hmm.
before the Lord. So we need to remember that what we do. I was listening to Prairie Man Church Age, and Brother Branham had the people repeat after him. He said, repeat after me. What you do to others, you're doing to the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? And just remember that. So if you're cranky with somebody, you're being cranky to the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? If you're being nice to them, you're being nice to the Lord. And so, we want to be in service to the Lord. And so, I want to ask you, what does the Lord need? In this hour, right now, what does the Lord Jesus Christ need? And, well, obviously, he needs a wife. He needs a bride. Because a wife ministers to her husband, right? She does. And a good wife will minister to what he needs, right? She'll look and she will minister to his needs. And so, what does the Lord need? This woman in the Bible, we read the story there, this woman in the Bible, she was ill-famed. She had to live and that was, you know, earned it in a bad way, and took that money, and she earned it in a bad way, and she went and bought that, you know, we know the story. But she came in there, and here's the point I'm getting at with her, is when she saw the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing who he was, she had something in her that had to go into service to him. And especially when she looked and she saw him in that house, invited there as a guest, and they didn't wash his feet, they didn't do all the things that you would normally do to an invited guest. They brought Jesus there to make fun of him, in my book. Because they invited him, and he'll always go where he's invited, but he's sitting over in the corner, and they're having their big chin dig and doing all the things they are, and they never washed his feet, never anointed him, kissed him, hugged him, whatever. And so here she sees the Lord Jesus Christ there, and she sees him in that situation, knowing who he is and knowing what kind of treatment he should have, what kind of preeminence he should have, and was not getting that, and that just... You know, that zeal. And so she just went right into action. Right? And it made no difference where that money come from or who she was. She just went into service to the Lord. And of course, Jesus said, you know, this woman's been done from now on out. This will be spoken of as a memorial to her for what she's done. And so, because she saw that he wasn't treated right. And so what I'm wanting to say is that, you know, in this hour, when we see what God is, we see what he's done. We see what the message and everything, the truth that has come out and the faithfulness of his word and all the ages becoming clear. This whole entire message has made it all clear from start to finish. And to see the reality of Jesus Christ and the coming of the Lord and all these things that he has so wonderfully brought up out of history and made alive to us to this day. To see that and to see it set and people not respond to it.
Yeah.
It just burns you up. I say burn it up. There's something inside you that can't stand that. Mm-hmm. A real Christian wants to see that glorified. Mm-hmm. A real Christian wants people to know that God is alive and well and he's here vindicating his word in this last day. Mm-hmm. And so we just can't sit still.
Right.
You know, I can't stand to see people wallowing in false doctrine. I don't like it. And I hear Brother Brown talking about it. You know, he just couldn't sit still because there's something in there that says, hey, I have to speak out against this. And he said, let us be, I heard him today, he said, let us be real protesters to anything that's not godly. Anything that's not godly, protest it. And there's a right way to do it. You know, there's a way to edify and to gently, and we understand all those things. But when we see what God has done, then we can't sit still. There's something in us that says, I have got to say something. I've got to stand for truth. I've got to tell people there is a truth that straightens out all the confusion and so forth. And so, We don't want to see the Lord Jesus Christ sitting over in the corner, just being ignored. And that's what denominations do. And if we're not careful, that's what people in the message will do. Right? They'll have their tradition. They'll have their little thing. This is what we do. And but the real living Word of God will be sitting over in the corner,
yeah,
and not being paid attention to, and not being allowed to have the preeminence in the room. I mean, if you'd have been in that place, he should have been the center of attention.
That's right.
But he wasn't. And so, but God had somebody there, because remember, God's always going to have somebody that's going to be a witness.
That's right.
He will always have somebody who will reach out and express that truth and be a witness to that truth of his that is happening whatever hour that it's in. And so we want to be in service to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So if you look around and ask, what does the Lord need? You look around and say, well, what does the body need?
Mm-hmm.
What does your brother and sister need?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And just realize that there's something in you that can help them. There's something in you that can help this church.
Yes.
Something you can help your family,
mm-hmm,
and your coworkers. There's just something there, and you just have to, you know, be what you are. Don't try to be something you're not. So Brother Branham says in this last quote here I'll use in the Pergamene Age, he said, it just goes to show that give the best that you have. Give your life, give your time, give everything to Christ. And that same spirit that lived in Christ lives in you. And your influence in your neighborhood and upon the people that you deal with will be so much like Christ till it'll work the same thing as Christ did. Now, you say, well, that's just a quote, Brother Tony. But listen to what he's saying. Give the best that you have. Give your life, give your time, give everything to Christ. And that same spirit that lived in Christ lives in you. Then that influence in your life, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, whatever, in your neighborhood, upon those people that you deal with, will be so much like Christ till it will work the same things that he did.
Amen.
Amen. You know, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Of course, you know, not all men are saved. But he's talking about those that are redeemable, right? And we know he's talking about lifting him up on the cross. But you can lift Jesus up every day.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. He is to be lifted up. And when you lift him up before those around you, they can see him, then it has a drawing power in itself. Remember, the scripture says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The word of our testimony. When's the last time you testified to someone?
Amen.
When's the last time you told somebody? You know, when I first, you know, met my dad and went and met some of my kinfolk, and heard that I was a minister, and so they asked me, one of the guys, a fairly rich person, I say rich, very well off, and he said, you know, what seminary did you go to?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he asked me.
Mm-hmm.
What seminary or Bible college did you go to? That's the first time I had somebody ask me that. You know? And so, you know, you're like, real quick, what do you say? You know? Because I didn't go to Bible college, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, you know, all I know to do is just tell how my fire got lit. That's what I told him. You know, that's all you can do.
Yeah.
See, God don't want you to be something you're not. Just be yourself. You know, you have a job and you have coworkers. And you know, I was telling guys the other day, you know, we spend a whole lot of time with our coworkers.
That's right.
You know, and like almost as much time as you do your family, or maybe some cases more. You know, because a lot of time you're in your home, you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Your coworkers is like another family to you, especially if you work there for many years. That is a mission field for you.
That's right.
It's not just church, but what do? You just be yourself, but let Christ express himself through who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Not what you're not, but just through who you are. Be yourself, you know. But the guys walked in on me yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Might have been today. I was praying over my food. You know, he come in my office and you know, he, you know, just be yourself, you know. Testify. Tell how your fire got lit. Let them see the joy of the Lord in your heart. As we said Sunday, the children of Israel had the shout of the king in their camp. And I listened to the prophet talking about it. He said, every one of us could be a Moses. And what he was telling was the story that when the children of Israel went across that Red Sea and they came out on the other side and that water closed up on those Egyptians. And they looked back and they seen all those dead Egyptians in the water. Every one of them that had whipped them, everything that ever tormented them, was all dead in that Red Sea. Right. And they began, Brother Ram said they were Pentecostals because they've been in to shout and rejoice and sing and all the things that they did there. And he said every one of us could be a Moses, could be like that, because when we could look behind us, and we can see all the filthy habits and all the sins and all the things we did wrong, and we see it all dead behind us and buried in the blood of Jesus Christ, then we can rejoice and we can shout and we can speak in tongues. It may be tongues to the people you're trying to talk to, because maybe they don't understand, you know what I'm saying? But we can do that. We can rejoice and be happy and shout and have a good time and have the shout of the King in our camp. But if you're not doing that, it's because you've lost track. You've forgotten what it was. Because when you can look back, like I said Sunday, I think it was Sunday, I'm not what I used to be. I know that. No, I'm not where I want to be. Right? I got probably a long ways to go. But brother, sister, I know I am not what I was. And so, and don't ever lose track of that. As long as you can look back and see, you know what? God changed me, and I know that. Then you have something to be rejoicing about, because you can't take thought and add to your hair or your stature. You can't take thought and get rid of a filthy habit. You can't take a thought and do those things. You can't. It takes a power that brings life. That's the way it is. And so when you see those things have taken place in your life, and you know He's present there to continue to do those things, then you have something to be very happy about. You have a service that you can provide to the Lord. And how are you going to serve the Lord? You're not going to walk up to some throne of some being that's on this throne and walk up there and say, you're going to serve Him when you find out how you can take who you are and you can bless the people around you, especially your church people. But when you can take that and bless the people and use what you are. And again, all that you are anointed through the Holy Ghost. Right? God anointing you to minister. That's how you'll serve God. You're not going to find Him on that throne, something like that. You're going to serve Him by serving His people. Amen. And doing service unto the Lord. So we thank the Lord. Let's just bow our hearts for you for a moment. Lord, we love you. Just this little thought that you gave me last night and this morning to share with your people. And I pray, God, that they would take it to heart and realize, maybe they look inside and find that a place within there where they can recognize that they do have something to give to this body and to your body, Lord, to this local assembly, to their family. Just help them to find that, and Lord, that you would anoint that in their lives, Lord, that they begin to learn new ways to bless the people around them and to express you to this lost and dying world. Lord, we just commit them to your hands and just thank you for this time together tonight, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And I would say for the musicians to come. Jesus is all I need.
sing.